not just seasonal jobs, but year-round jobs. And we've spoken with several different industrial users, which are talking about the possibility of 24-hour operation and, you know, multiple shifts with some high-paying jobs that could go along with that. And we think that could be an asset for the community. Stabilize that, you know, the vacation or visitor component, you know, where we kind of shut down during certain times of the year. And, you know, with Taney County having such a high employment, unemployment rate, you know, that's definitely a need that needs to be assessed and addressed by the community.
Rick, how far does the city of Ennis go south?
Just the rock quarry, just in Jernigan's 165, in that particular area. Now, on the other side of the highway, we go down to 265, roughly. So I have talked with natural gas people. They have started construction in Hollister. They are working behind Lowe's. They've come across, and they're going down through there. But it's still going to be 6 miles. Now, I talked with them, and they said if there's users down there that can make a pencil, then we'll go down there.
Okay. So, as far as other public infrastructure, I mean, we're working with the City of Hollister and the Taney County Regional Sewer District about extending the trunk sewer down Turkey Creek to help us deal with our waste collection system. And that provides additional opportunities, you know, up at Turkey Creek Draw. And then we'll be looking at water. That'll be dealt with on-site with wells and a storage tower. So we'll have a small little water distribution system there on site to deal with the development.
It's a little more than small.
One of the other things we have is, of course, the fire district doesn't have central water supply down there even to refill tankers. They got draft out of lakes and all that stuff. If they can get places where they can hook onto hydrants, that's a life safety issue down in that area. So that would help the area residents that don't have that advantage right now, so that's another thing.
Well, maybe to hit on that on the public safety component.
One of the things we're doing and having our program is a public safety building. We didn't bring that forward, but what our intent is, and we've got meetings we'll do a public safety building on the property. Anytime the tracks are live, we have to have rescue, fire rescue, and ambulance on the track. So we're going to have people there all the time, anytime we're running. So, of course, we pay for that. It's not something we're asking any other organization to pay for. It's part of the cost of operating the racetrack. But it makes good synergy that we build a public safety building on the property. We'll have at least two ambulance bays, at least two fire department bays, and we're looking at a traffic management center, a couple of pods, essentially, not a full traffic management building, but putting a couple of traffic management pods in and then tying all the way back down to the bridge with cameras and fiber. So as we do our traffic infrastructure or transportation infrastructure development, all of the traffic in and out of our facility could be managed from that location by MoDOT and Highway Patrol or in large events, so they can actually watch the flow in and out. And we have been to the Kansas track at the invitation of KDOT and the Kansas Highway Patrol and spent the day watching those guys manage their traffic in that facility and out of that facility. And I can tell you from having visited several racetracks around the country, and there's a few tracks I haven't been to, but I've been to most of them, and there's that facility pushes traffic in and out of there better than almost anybody.
I've been to meetings where those guys from the Kansas DOT have presented, and it's pretty amazing. How does this compare? Because that's the thing, a small army controlling that traffic.
Actually, you know, they had 30 highway patrol and 20 KDOT employees, and they managed the inflow and the outflow with that group of people. That the captain of that patrol district, we sat in the room with him, and he really was the one making the calls. And there was a major in there for a little while, and he really was just kind of checking. And They said the first race, the colonel, their top officer of the state was there, and since then they haven't done it. But he is able to say, move this, and the KDOT guys go change the cones, and the officers make the change. And it's pretty amazing, but it's because of the camera system, and it's real-time cameras.
Is it the same size as seating, 65,000?
They're quite a bit larger. They'll hold about 100,000.
They got I-70 there.
Like they're they got 70 and 435.
Yeah,
so, that was a big factor on them selecting that location. But I can tell you that those are not the factors. The factors really occur on property and as you exit property. It hasn't been 70 and 435. It's been those facilities. So in looking at how we're going to address that, when MoDOT four-laned that from Hollister to the end of the Arkansas line, the original intentions were an interchange at 265, an interchange at 86, and an overpass down by the Arkansas line. And so due to funding limitations, signals were put in at 265 and 86, and now due to safety issues, they're evaluating the signal down near the state line. So what we're doing is we're in conversations with MoDOT, working out a memorandum of understanding to say we want to partner together on this. And we understand that funding is limited, but we have allocated transportation infrastructure costs into our project. And what we want to do is cost share with MoDOT to help reimburse us for those upfront construction costs. And that's the discussions that we're having with them now to work out those details. So what we're proposing is to build a new interchange at 265, a new interchange at 86, and then at the state line to also build an interchange. The original plan was for just an overpass, but we'd like to go ahead and put the ramps on that to make that full.
It connects the outer road between all three. So you can think from a traffic management, we can peel northbound traffic out off of 65 and load them on this outer road on the inbound, and we can peel traffic off here and load them on the outer road southbound and bring westbound traffic into the site.
So
and then as you leave, you reverse that flow essentially.
So the thing about it is you're really all about lane capacity. So you want to get as many lanes going in the primary direction that you're trying to. So we may have a three-lane road section with improved shoulders. So in that scenario, we would utilize those shoulders as a lane and have four coming in during the inbound traffic and one going out so we can maintain that dedicated exit. And then on the exit maneuver, we would reverse that and do four out, one in, just so we can maintain flow each direction. Our goal is to try to move people in and out of the facility in about a 2.5 to 3 hour window. And the exit is our driver, because once the race is over, they're all running to their cars.
They want them out in 2 hours. That's the goal. All of them that won out in 2 hours. And there are some that would hang around and some that
sleep at all.
Yeah. One of the other critical pieces is this connector road that would come through our property and connect over to the airport road that would get us the airport. Then it would have two points of access. Last spring down here on Grants Creek Boulevard, we Russ went down and cleaned up a mudslide that was just within probably 2 or 3 hours of closing that road. And we see that as a big advantage for the airport, plus for the neighbors, where the Fruit Farm Road people could connect back to this road. They didn't have a back way out. And there's better access to these neighborhoods down here from that road than there currently is. You guys probably know more about Blue Ridge than any of us want to. But.
So again, there's the two situations there. That's a dead end road. I mean, there's only one way in, one way out for Fruit Farm or Blue Ridge, and one way in, one way out for the airport. And so this would provide an alternate way out for both. And this was really driven by, we've had some neighborhood meetings, and that was driven by a concern that the neighborhoods have had. So trying to be a listen and be attentive to their needs. So again, our plan is to partner with MoDOT, do a cost share to get reimbursed for some of those costs. Another important component is that we're going to be asking the county about the possibility of doing a transportation development district, utilizing some of the sales tax base that are generated from the facility to help pay back some of those public infrastructure costs.
That's not dipping into any current funds. It would be an additional tax into the district.
And it just put within the bounds of that transportation development district. And again, just a sales tax, no property tax. Our goal is to protect and preserve those entities that collect and operate on those property tax values. And we know how important that is in school districts and those other folks. But that's another request that we'll be making to help fund these infrastructure projects. And actually not fund, but reimburse. We're going to upfront the cost. So that's kind of just a good general overview where we're at in the process. We meet with planning and zoning on July the 11th, where we have our public hearing. We're hoping that we'll have a favorable result from them, which will be 1 week after that, and then we'll start moving on our planned schedule. We're looking at vertical construction to start coming out of the ground towards the end of this year. We have still tentatively set our opening date to be spring of 2013.
But we're like MoDOT. Spring, that gives me all the way to June the 21st, right?
So we'd be happy to answer any questions that you guys may have. And we would like the opportunity to kind of continue to keep you guys up to speed on how we're progressing with both our agreements with MoDOT. As we start looking at this airport access road and any other issues that you guys see.
We would see the bulk of the airport road as a dedicated county road, I think in the long range view. The one thing is on race weekends, on the big race weekends where we would have a real large crowd, we would have to limit access on that road because on the inflow and outflow, it'll be full.
What kind of price are you going to be charging for tickets?
Well, it would vary on the event. There's different price points per series. A ARCA series is going to bring a lower price than a nationwide series race.
So what are they ranked, $20 to $70?
Yeah.
$20 to $70?
Yeah, depending on the sanctioning body or who's racing on it. Just ballpark.
Some might be as low as 15.
Impact is Highway 65. It's race day, it's Highway 65. So what's the impact on 65 going to be?
65, right now 65 has about 18,000 vehicles per day on it. We're talking about adding, it's got a capacity. With the traffic signals in, it's got one capacity. When you put the interchanges in, it has additional capacity. But with the signals there, you're probably 30, 40,000 vehicles per day. So when we add our 20, 25 vehicles or 1,000 vehicles, there's going to be some congestion occur. But again, we're going to block that out for a shorter duration.
If you add the diamonds in, right now it's at 33,000 cars a day would be capacity on it. If you add the diamonds in, it goes to 70,000.
Just keeping that free flow movement is important so they're not stopping. With the lights in, you're going to create a ton of congestion. But I can tell you on race days, everything changes because the Highway Patrol and MoDOT will get out there and manage that traffic to try to keep it moving as efficiently as possible.
Some lane or shoulder improvements, and this is all real preliminary, but we've talked about lane and shoulder improvements on 65 to carry some of the extra load and leave the through lanes open.
I actually went down with Kirk Duranis and we talked about actually leaving lanes straight through. The race doesn't even affect the lanes. They're on different lanes and there's through traffic. And the other thing was with, let's say you're doing 30,000 cars a day as a result of the race. Right now in the Hollister interchange, we have 33,000 cars a day. That's what goes through the interchange on a daily average. We have, on a heavy day, we have 56,000 in there. Well, nobody even thinks of that. They're in a more congested